Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council work session on March 19th, 2007. As you know, we have a number of items to talk about. Four, specifically, a review of the parking management recommendations by Mr. John Edwards. Number two, an update of the Wayfinder project. Number three, a publication boxes and their locations in the downtown area. And four, sidewalk sales. And if everybody's real nice and we don't get into a whole lot of discussion, we'll get through all of them. If not, we'll stay here until we get through all of them. So without further ado, Roger, you want to lead us into number one?
Yes. Tonight we're not looking for answers to all of these issues. We're looking for direction. Direction so that ADDA and some of the subcommittees that they have working could move forward, that we could hopefully get direction on the publication boxes, sidewalk sales, so again we can move on that issue. The wayfinding is going to be giving you more of an update as to where they are, again to get further direction though, that if council would like to give us that. So we have a number of issues here tonight, and again, it's not to sit here tonight and try to micromanage all this and to come up with an exact solution for all the various problems, but to present several ideas and to see where council wants to go. The first issue is one that several of you were involved with, and that's John Edwards had a study, and in this publication that I'm holding in my hand is probably familiar to some of you, concerning the downtown area. He went out there and did several traffic counts, found out that the vast majority of the people that park in the downtown area utilize the areas for under 2 hours, but there are a few people, and I believe that most, if not all of them, are probably merchants that work in the downtown area, do park their cars for long periods of time on Richland and Lawrence. The only thing that I'd like to add to his study, that as we talk about this, he will describe in here that Lawrence Street and Richland Avenue, so going on Lawrence Street from Barnwell south to Park, and then Richland from Newberry to Pendleton Street, would be the areas that he would consider needing some action. In this case, he's proposing a 2-hour parking limit. We would also propose that from Newberry Street to Lawrence, we'd also enact that same type of 2-hour limit. That'd be the area right in front of City Hall, going in the westbound direction, the eastbound direction, in front of George's Funeral Home, the courthouse. That could stay all day long, but right in front of City Hall, the paint store, Harper's Realty, the barbershop, the package shop, DeVore's new grocery store that he's going to have there, that would be the 2-hour limit would be imposed in those areas. Because again, there's a lot of turnover in traffic, so again, we proposed that one block. With that in mind, Bill Huggins, who's been working on this study for a long time, is here tonight to answer any questions. Carla Cloud is here with the ADDA, and I'm not too sure if both or either one of them would like to speak on the subject. Carla said I see her hands raised up. I've included in here the recommendations that he has made. In fact, why don't we just kind of go through some of these recommendations. If you turn to what he has listed as page 5, which is the second page of the memo I sent you, number one, he is stating that we should have a 2-hour limit on that area that I just described on Lawrence, Richland, and Park, that we would go ahead and look for off-street parking areas that we could lease. If council would like us to pursue that, I would recommend we try one or two particular locations, and let's see if people will really park there or not. You know, we would have identifying maps to showing people where the long-term parking would be at. We could supply that to all the different stores that they give to the visitors, give to the customers that they have. And again, we would be proposing that we would do this in a process that if we decided on July 1, would enact the two-hour limit, that we wouldn't on July 1 start issuing tickets, but we would go ahead and give some people information and warnings and take a period of time till everybody got an understanding of what was going to be necessary. They had also recommended a few other areas that they felt we could get some additional parking spaces in, but those are the three or four basic areas: the two-hour limit, off-street parking area, a media campaign, and then going ahead and trying to develop a few other locations within the few block areas that he studied. So, council, have any comments, questions?
I do. Fourth from the bottom, the dot on page five, it's on page five, is still.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, I remember his talking about this, it's recommended that additional on-street parking on Pendleton and Newberry Streets be marked and signed for all-day parking. I would really hate to see us do this at this point. I'm thinking of Warnke's Cleaners, I'm thinking of Newberry Hall, I'm thinking of all the business, the State Farm office on Newberry Street. I don't think we need to sign that as all-day parking, maybe part of it across the way. Same thing on Pendleton. We now have Aiken to Learn there. We have a new bookstore. We have York Cottage, of course. We have Barbara Sue Brody's place. I mean, it's not going to help if we assign, you know what I mean, encourage employees to park in front of their stores all day long either.
So would you be saying that in front of all these storefronts on Newberry Street and Pendleton, so that'd be on the west side of Newberry and the east side of Pendleton, would also be two-hour parking?
No, not necessarily. I just don't think what this says is it would be signed for all-day parking. I mean, I assume that would be that would mean that we would encourage employees of businesses on Lawrence Street and other and visitors, since there are signs, and shoppers, to park on those streets all day long if they want to park all day.
But you bring up a good point in the fact that if we're now telling people park on Newberry and park on Pendleton, would some of these people start parking in front of those storefronts?
Exactly, exactly.
And therefore, we may want to expand it to our limit in front of those, not on all of Newberry Street and not all of Pendleton, but just the spaces facing the storefronts on Newberry and those facing the storefronts on Pendleton.
That would sound logical to me, but I'd like to hear what Sam and David Sachs and some of those people that are directly affected think about
that. Come on. Roger, let me ask while Colin's coming up. When we say Newberry and Pendleton, are we talking about all the parking spaces on the street, on the sidewalk side, as well as in the middle?
No, just the sidewalk side.
Just the sidewalk. So the middle would still be free.
Immediately in front of the stores.
Would be what we're saying here is all day.
And what I'm saying is may want to consider two-hour parking immediately in front of those stores. The median areas would be all-day parking.
The main thing I would want to see,
the median would be all day.
Barbara Sue's going to have a fit about the two-hour parking in front of her store, by the way. But and that's a valid concern of hers. Well, all right. But anyway, but the point is, I don't want us to identify that as all-day parking for employees on Lawrence Street. That's what I guess I'm trying to say.
Well, let me just jump in here, if you don't mind. I'm Carla Cloud from the ADDA. And what has occurred, we sent a letter, I hope you have a copy of it, that is a recommendation. One of the recommendations that was made by John Edwards was to form a parking advisory committee, which we understood that we were to do. So we did that, utilizing the individuals who had come to the presentation, so they were informed about what was going on, what the study had shown, and the recommendations. From that parking advisory committee, those that were willing to serve, they did feel like the ultimate goal would be the two-hour parking. We're not asking for specifics or anything right now, but what we started, the first meeting that we had, we started saying, okay, one of the first things you have to do is to identify alternative parking. So should we go to City Council and say, you know, can we have somebody to help us identify parking? after we started going down this list, somebody said, you know, we're going to be spinning our wheels, spending a lot of time and effort on this, and then if we get to the ultimate two-hour goal and city council says we're not going to do this, then we've done all this work for nothing. So what our proposal is that if we're in agreement that something has to be done, this is obviously something that has been talked about for years, and there's frustration with the council, there's frustration with ADDA, because nothing has been done. So if we feel like this is a good way to remedy this based on the recommendations of the expert to have a two-hour parking limit, then that would be the ultimate goal. We just want support saying yes, that eventually that's what we'll do. All these specifics as to whether it's going to be limited to Richland and Lawrence between Pendleton and all that, whether we are going to change some parallel parking into angled parking, what all the things that are going to happen will come later. But we just need to make sure that, you know, are we in agreement that a two-hour parking limit is something that we want, and then work on the specifics within this parking advisory committee, which is what we were asked to do, was to form. And then we can discuss, does it need to include Hayne? Does it need to include Newberry? And then we will come back with that. But I think to get bogged down in that tonight might be premature.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question. Before we even get to two-hour parking, how about some of the off-site parking that is available to be used now that it's not being used? I mean, that's part of the report as well.
Right.
Trying to work out with the bank and whoever has some off-site parking that obviously is not being used. All you have to do is ride by and you see it.
That's true. And my understanding is the history has been that this has been talked about, and even people have been identified that are, for lack of a better word, abusing. I mean, customer service 101 says you leave your customer parking out front. That's not occurring. But being asked and being shown these has not remedy the situation. So we feel like there has to be an ordinance in place with enforcement, and that's the other part of this. Without the enforcement, people are not going to do it. They're not going to utilize these spaces.
I don't disagree at all about that. I'm just saying step one.
Exactly.
Maybe one and two come together, but step
exactly.
One seems like the first thing we would do is look at those areas that are available that no one's parking in,
right,
and say, what can we do about that?
Exactly, and that's why I say, rather than getting bogged down in some of the specifics, that's part of it. The first thing we need to do is identify alternative parking.
Okay.
Is that
right,
through going to private places and trying to utilize those? Is it changing parallel into angled? The next part would be educating. We've got to let the public know, which may include getting the maps done that says this is long term, this is short term. You know, there are things that have to be done prior to the implementation of the ordinance and the enforcement. So I agree with you totally.
Right. But you were saying something a little bit earlier about you felt like you needed direction as to whether or not we're going to two-hour parking in some spots without designating those spots, but let the committee do that and then bring them back to City Council.
Well, and even these things, too. No, I'm saying the whole process. We would go through the whole process, but there's no reason for us to start identifying places,
right,
if we're not going to have an enforcement,
yeah,
of some sort.
Carla, what are some of the reasons that the people who park in front of the businesses that work downtown, what are some of the reasons they give for not going to the sites that have been designated as off-street parking? What are some of the things that they say to you?
Well, not having been in that portion, that being the history,
okay,
Sam can probably tell you, but my understanding is pretty much there's laziness. A lot of young people who don't have the same concept as an adult or a business owner. Unfortunately, some of the business owners don't enforce it with their own employees either. Do you want to give more information?
Well, I just, number one, I think the first issue will be education. Everybody's got to find out how we came across this two-hour limit. The majority of people that park downtown parks for an hour and 46 minutes. That's how the two-hour parking came up. The parking, the 111 spaces that are taken up by these employees, per se, that's part of the education. But the first question out of their mouth is going to be, where do you want me to park? But the two-hour parking is only a minute thing of this whole outlook. You got to understand this. John told us it's not just we're going to make two-hour parking, that solves it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to this. That is just one element of this thing that's got to be put in place. I think by the advisory committee that we have in place, we were basically after your blessing. We didn't want to do all this work and then say, well, councils, we're not going to do this. So we kind of wanted your blessing, and that's where we are now. Now we can go to the drawing board and start this. But Carla said enforcement is a, we've got to have enforcement. I mean, if we're going to set this and make this an ordinance, it's got to be enforced. And it was going to be enforced with a, I think, a uniformed person with no gun, you know, but just the presence of that uniformed person, you know, would make everybody feel safer and so forth and so on and have. But I just wanted to emphasize education, and the two-hour parking is just a small part of this whole program. That's what I wanted to say. But yes, if you say two-hour parking, the first question is going to be, where do you want me to park? Mm-hmm. And I think with before we go and get the city to rent all these lots here and there and everywhere and upkeep them and everything else, which will be the ultimate goal, we need to say, yes, you can park on that end of Newberry, which might need striping. We can park here and we can park there, and but we need to determine where they are going to be, and no, it will not be in front of a merchant. But those employees and merchant owners need to know where they are, and they need to be throughout all of the downtown. Well, Lawrence, Richmond, and now Park. So.
Sam, let me ask a question. If we were to build if we had space out there to build a parking lot right today, how many new lots do we need? How many parking spots would we have to put in there?
Be honest with you, we don't need that right now. We have to manage what we have.
Well, that's what I think, too. Yeah.
Now, down the road, 5-10 years, yes, we will need a lot, maybe, mm-hmm. with the ability to go up. But right now, we need major management mm-hmm. and enforcement. We, you know, I don't think there's one in this room that can say, even myself, say, I know where I park and it's not in front of it. I mean, I don't park in front of a merchant, but still do all my employees. I mean, I try to tell them where to park and everything else, but going out there and telling them or finding out where they park is another thing. But if I could tell them exactly where to park, then, you know, in the past, I have told them to park at Newberry because there wasn't that much going on in Newberry. That has changed. You know, management. There's a few decisions need to be made first with this advisory committee. Mm-hmm. Let us find our direction. Let us pass it on to you guys, see what you think. You know,
I'm sitting here, I was on that committee, of course, with you, and I thought we made that decision 6 months ago to turn it over to you for you to come back and tell us exactly how and what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm confused. It seems to me that we're at the same point we were when we asked the committee to be formed 6 months ago, or whatever it was, even longer.
Well, we didn't feel that way, I guess. I don't know.
Because I think we can, if the question is, do we in general believe that 2-hour parking limit is not a bad idea, I would think that we get the general consensus right now that, yeah, it is.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad idea, but I think we'll have the advisory committee do just what you said you'd like to do, whether or not it's been done or any of it's been done or not, but starting right now, do that,
right.
And then bring the whole picture back to us, the whole
well,
thing, the whole package.
It'll be in steps.
That's right. Step 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I've heard from several downtown business people today, and you know, a 2.5-hour parking as far as a customer walking into my paint store may not be a detriment, but you know, there are some businesses downtown that require for a customer to stay in their store longer than 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And if we impose a 2-2.5-hour limit, then that's going to cause that customer to have to leave that store and go out, move that car, and then come back into the store if they desire to continue to do business there. You know, one of them could be, you know, a bridal store.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody doesn't go in there and come right back out. Another one of those is Barber Sue Brody, her shop. You know, her customers are in there longer, and it could potentially cost her a sale. And so, you know, these are things that I want to take into consideration along with the two and a half hour parking. You know, some stores, a pharmacy, perchance 30 minutes, 20 minutes may be long enough. But, you know, there are shops that's down here that's chosen to be downtown and to do business downtown. And I would hate to see us do anything that would hurt that business.
Right, and we don't want to do that. Suppose we had some 1, 2, and 3 hour parking, or whatever the combination needs to be, scattered around. Would that be too confusing to people, you think?
Yeah. One of the main things was the hours of enforcement. I think it was what, 10 to 4. This has been addressed, because that question, I remember, came up to John.
One of the problems was that if the hours were made too short, somebody could arrive at just the right time, technically be in compliance, and actually be there for 4 or 5 hours. So, as the nominal head of the advisory committee, I was of the opinion that we felt that enforcing and legislating the two-hour parking was the first thing to do, because the people will find a place to park if they have to. They will never take advantage of additional parking if they can park for free wherever they feel like it.
I agree with you completely.
I do too.
Yeah.
And having worked and lived in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
where two-hour parking is from 8 to 5, I believe, every day, the business is still managed, and it goes on. I mean, you have to... There are a couple people that are going to have a problem, and they'll figure out a way to work it out.
Barbara Sue Brody's specific case was addressed when she was saying the same things about having to have long-term on-street parking while she had plenty of free parking right behind the store that she was leasing with a direct entry from the parking lot. So, yes, there will be some people who want to shop downtown for more than 2 hours, but long-term shoppers kind of know that they have to walk a little farther. The first thing to do is to institute the shorter parking limits, because we've been talking about that as long as I've been in town.
That's not 21 years or so.
I've only been here 8 years.
Yeah. Well, this thing is...
I'm taking part. My name's going to be dragging this. I'd like to have a...
Okay, Barbara said.
I'm Barbara Sue Brody. I have a knitting shop downtown, and I have been in business for 7 years downtown. 5 years on Lawrence Street, and now 2 years on Hayne, which is just a block and a half off of Lawrence. I never had free, unlimited parking behind my building that was owned by Mr. Franklin. It was not available to my customers.
If I was misinformed?
You were misinformed. People come to Aiken because it's easy to shop in Aiken. You can park your car in front of Malia's. You can have lunch. You can walk down to Birds and Butterflies. You can drop in at Plum Pudding. You can run up the street to Lionel Smith and pick up some shirts, and you can come into my shop and have a class and then run up to York Cottage and look for antiques without moving your car. It's why people come to Aiken. It's what makes our downtown unique. When I'm reading all of these wonderful things in the Aiken Standard about what makes Aiken special, this is it. People do not have to move their cars. This is not Washington, D.C. They have moved away from Washington, D.C. to get to Aiken because we do things differently here. One size does not fit all. I sat on the Parking Advisory Commission 2.5 years ago. We went through this whole thing then. There are people who need to have customers be able to run in and out, but for most of us, shopping for our customers is an experience. They come here to enjoy our beautiful town, and they don't have to get in their car and move it every 2 hours. Anytime you've got a customer that's looking at their watch, thinking, do I have time to buy this or do I have to go move my car? You're not going to make a sale. Anytime you've got a customer who gets in their car because their time has expired, you're going to lose them. And there are a lot of merchants downtown who feel the way I do. We don't see that it's a problem with customer parking. We see it's a problem with employee parking. Address the problem. Don't address the consequences of the problem. That's all we're asking. I know where my employees park every day. I know where I park every day. We do not park in front of anybody else's retail shop. And my people walk. They are never to park in front of anyone else's store. I know that some shop owners, and perhaps I should say some people who have storefronts, not shop owners, downtown don't feel that way. But those of us who deal in retail as a business do feel that way. And we are careful about that. But, again, please address the problem. Don't do something now that's going to have unforeseen consequences down the road, because, as I said to someone earlier today, this is like a lady putting on a girdle. You're going to squeeze it in somewhere, but it's going to pop out somewhere else. And you're not going to make this problem go away by limiting to 2 hours the customers. What you're saying to people is, please come to Aiken. We'd love for you to shop for 2 hours and spend all the money you can during that time, and then we want you to leave. I don't want to tell them that. I want to tell them to come to Aiken, enjoy the day, visit as many shops as you can, and go to Augusta or Columbia or Orangeburg or Edgefield or even down to Woodside, having enjoyed your day in Aiken. So I'm looking also at the consequences of pushing everybody off of Lawrence and Richland and pushing them onto the side streets where my shop happens to be. Are we going to wind up with all long-term parking, all-day parking for customers on Pendleton and Payne and Newberry so that my customers never get a chance to pull their car in there? That would be a mistake as well, and that's one of the things that I read in the paper was a consideration. So I'm asking you to be very slow in trying to set any limits. This might work in other places, but I don't think it's going to work in Aiken. And I think what it's going to do is be detrimental to everyone. And it certainly will be detrimental to me, to the quilt shop that's next door to me, to anybody else who is looking to make a sale that takes longer than 2 hours, especially if they've already had lunch at the Bowery or Malia's, and then they start shopping after they've had lunch.
I want to go ahead and tell you that I appreciate what you just said, because if you park in front of the Tea Garden gift store and you go in and you are looking at invitations, and then you go up to Lionel Smith, or you go next door to the florist, and then you have to come up to the bridal shop, it's going to take more than 2 hours.
Yes, it is.
And by the time you get in your car and circle around to find another parking space, it's a real big headache. And I know that what you're saying is very true, that you probably will have some people who will not be able to do what they need to do in 2 hours. But I am concerned about employees who park on the street. I've heard in years past some of the reasons why they park downtown, such as, you know, I left home late and you know, this is as quickly, you know, I have to get there to be on time. Or, you know, I don't get off until dark and then I have to walk a long ways to get to my car. There are several reasons that I've heard in years past, but I'm wondering if we've looked at some of those reasons and tried to figure out how we could best move those 111 parking spots somewhere else.
I think that if you have lots that are designated for employee parking and you have decals for those cars so that they are the only ones authorized to park in those lots, that might be one of the answers. You have people coming and going at virtually the same times into the retail shop, so it's a crowd of people moving onto and out of the parking lots at the same time. And if customers can't park in those lots, then the employees would be certain of having a place to park. And And I think that there are other things to look at, but addressing the employee problem will take care of the other problems, I believe. In fact, I don't believe there are problems with customer parking. I think the problem is only with employee parking. But you're going to punish the customers, and then you're going to punish the shop owners if you go to the two-hour parking, I'm afraid.
Barbara, let me just say to you that I agree with everything you're saying. I hate going to Columbia because they've got the metered parking.
Yes.
While I'm in a meeting, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've got to get out of here because I'm on a time limit. So I'm rushing out to feed that meter more. So the time element of being conscious about whether you're going to be fined or not is a valid point. I agree with you that there is a problem with its employee. We have the problem right across the street. So, you know, I'm trying to think of some creative ways that we can talk with folks in buildings. I use a sticker on the window that says, my employees recognize parking is for the customer, something to that effect.
Well, my daughter lives in Chicago, and they have a whole set of decal lots about where you live, where your business is, and where you can park and where you can't park. And I'm not saying that is the answer. I'm saying it's something that maybe we could look at.
Well, I know that Stephanie's saying we should have tried that years ago, but this is today now. And so going, repeating that, to seeing what will work, I can't see any problems with that. Secondly, I asked Jane if she would give me her opinion here as I rode around this afternoon, trying to look at other solutions, because Aiken is so popular that people want to come to this community to visit. They want to shop downtown. So we're going to see more and more traffic downtown, so we're going to have to create more parking spaces. And so as I looked at our streets, Park Avenue, Chesterfield Street, Lawn Street, I'm looking at single lane streets going down those corridors and thinking, why can't we, for two blocks, make Richland Avenue a single lane from, let's just assume, from Newberry Street to York Street? Why can't we make that single lane, create parking spaces on the left side as you head east of those corridors, and that allows for more parking spaces on both sides going east and west? I know the traffic volume is pretty heavy traveling through downtown with Richland, but if you check the traffic, they're speeding too fast anyway. So with that being a single lane, they will slow down a bit as they travel through our town, particularly between Newberry Street and Highway 1, which is York Street. So that's a consideration that I looked at this afternoon that I wanted Roger, our public safety officer, to investigate in terms of an alternative to create more parking spaces.
Unless you're talking about right on Richland Avenue itself?
Yes.
Well, that's a state or a federal highway. They won't let you do that.
Well, what about downtown here?
But it's wide. You got the extra right away there.
Well, let me say one thing to you, and just from a customer perspective even, you know, it's funny because we're talking about the customers not wanting to park and walk, but we've just said that what they do is they park and they walk to all these places. And I guess what I'm saying is when I need to go somewhere and get something quickly, I want a close parking space so I can jump out, do whatever I got to do, get my car. But if I am, in fact, coming down to go to lunch and to go to the quilt shop or to go to Birds and Butterflies or whatever, then I know I'm going to walk. And that's where it's so important that we try to find alternative long-term parking that isn't, you know, a huge way far away, but that people wouldn't mind getting in their car. They know they're coming down here. That is part of the joy of Aiken, is walking down the alley, walking around town. So to find them a parking space, and then they know they're, and again, because of the study, it showed that the majority of the people coming down are being here less than 2 hours. So, I mean, I think those are some kind of common sense things, too. We're obviously not going to please everybody, but I think that this is a start based on the recommendations of someone who has seen this occur across the United States and has dealt with the same problem. And I'm going to tell you, I go to a lot of Main Street meetings and get a lot of publications, and we're not the only city that's dealing with this, for sure. But this is exactly why we wanted to come here and not start doing this, because if it's not going to go, then we don't need to be spinning our wheels looking for alternatives and that kind of thing. So I think somebody else has
something. Thank you, Colonel. Robert, still want to thank you for your comments as well. Appreciate it very much. Wade?
I'm Wade Brody, and I serve on the ADDA committee. I've had the privilege of working on this issue for the last 40-odd years. Apparently, I haven't done a very good job. We've gone through planning and going off street and finding parking places and putting out maps, and the city agreeing to if an owner would lease or allow the use of the parking, the city would go in there and do some black topping and put in some parking spaces behind the building. None of this has worked, and we can come up with all the kind of all street parking we want, but it's not going to work unless there's some mechanism of enforcement. So I think what this committee is asking you this evening is, will the city council agree to some mechanism of enforcement? I realize that without taking a vote, you can't totally do that, but would you agree to the concept? And there's no point in going out and identifying space and trying to work out lease agreements with property owners, you know, where there are vacant spaces that could be used, unless we know we're going to get the enforcement. And if we don't have the enforcement, it's not going to work.
Well, I agree with the mayor that when you said the very first thing we need to do is
just going to say that.
I mean, that's the point. The first thing is to find off-street parking for our employees. Not on-street parking, off-street parking for our employees, if possible. And
what
you're saying, and that has to be enforced as well, just like we'd enforce anything. I mean, that has to be enforced just like a two-hour.
Well, let me ask the city attorney a question. We can't discriminate between employees and customers, can we? Can city council?
From an equal protection of the law standpoint, it would be difficult to say it's okay for this class of individuals to do this particular thing, but it's not okay for this class of individuals to do this particular thing. And so if you go to enforce an ordinance just against one class of citizens, I think you would run into a problem there from a fairness standpoint. The other thing is from an enforcement standpoint, you know, if parking downtown is free for all customers, and we say we're going to put all the employees in a lot over here, and they've got to put a sticker on their window, and that's where they park, well, the easiest way for them to keep parking on Lawrence Street is to not put the sticker in
right.
their window.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that kind of an enforcement mechanism, then you've got a public safety officer driving up and down Lawrence Street. He's got to call in every license tag to see whether, I got this guy, he's parked here, his name is so-and-so, does he work anywhere downtown? You know, it would be a nightmare to enforce. It would be impossible to enforce. And so, I'm legally it probably doesn't stand up, and,
right.
and the rest of it is very difficult to do.
Well, let me ask the mayor a question. Are you suggesting that the first thing we do is to go out and locate all these available lots and negotiate with property owners and come up with leases before we actually bring the whole package back, which would include enforcement?
I think so. That's where I would start if I were doing it on my own. We've got places that are available. I just think every time I go, if you go down Lawrence and you get to Barnwell, you turn left, go down by Trinity, going down there, there's never anybody parking on that street, that block. You could park X number of cars on both sides of that. And that's only just around the corner from downtown. So I think there's other places like that as well. And I think that ought to be our first step before we instigate any hour parking, if that's to be. But then I think if we have to, then surely there are some places that could be 2-3 hours, whatever the time is. Maybe it's 4 hours. Certain places, maybe on a medium of Newbury or somewhere. So I think the advisory council could do that, a committee could do that as well, and bring all that back to us, and then we could look at it as a package and say, okay, this is what we've identified.
Well,
as offsite, and then if we have to go to an hour, you know, some type of limit, then this is what we would recommend. And do one at a time and see. I never have a problem getting a parking spot when I come downtown. Now, occasionally I'll have to go around the block once. I never do. Well, now, maybe I'm the only one that never does.
We're all concerned about our customers because that's the lifeblood of the community. And if the employees didn't park right in front of businesses downtown, we wouldn't be here tonight talking
about
that.
Well, and I think that's something we need to look at. Over the years, we've talked about that issue, and I agree that that's the main issue, I think. Mm-hmm. If we could do that, then we wouldn't be talking about some of these other. How do we do that?
Well, it comes.
Does anybody have any good idea about how we could do that?
It comes back to merchant enforcement. I suspect that I'm the only ex-employer in Aiken that ever fired a person for not following the bank's parking policy. And we had just gone through this process, and we identified parking spaces. We said, you park here. And as an employer, we can do that. And one, two, three violations, and we lost an employee. But you don't have many property owners that are businesses that will take that approach. That's the key if you could get them to do that.
Maybe we could rely on the old system, is the shopkeeper A tells about all of the B employees, and the C tells about the D, but they don't take care of their own.
But having worked on this for 40 years, I want to emphasize again that anything you do, you identify all these lots, but without some enforcement mechanism, right, you're wasting your time.
And that's really why we got a consultant. He came in, took a good look at the thing, told us what to do. 6 or 7 months ago, we turned it over to you folks, and somehow it comes back, and here we are back 40 years. This is a workable plan people have to work with. Work out the kinks, but somewhere, as Wade says, you got to have enforcement, and it's going to have to be, I think, at least a 2-hour, because that's what the numbers tell us.
And let me tell you this, too. That is exactly right. And let me tell you this. I'm so glad that Barbara Sue came up and spoke, and already we have had others that have made comments about, well, I think this is a good idea, and I have said, write me a note, and I will put it in the file, and when the Parking Advisory Committee comes together, as we are starting to work on the specifics, we can take that into consideration. So, I mean, again, that's why I was scared we were going to get bogged down in where and how long and all. We want this to be as customer-friendly and merchant-friendly as possible. But based on the recommendations and the surveys of the expert that you hired, this is what he has said, and we feel like those that came to the presentation and were informed, and let me tell you, there were some people who were adamantly against 2-hour parking, but once they came to the presentation, their views changed because they understood and they were better informed. So I think that's where we came about saying, yes, these recommendations are good, and we want to work and take, you know, if somebody has ideas and decide where. I don't want us to say it's going to be from here to here right now. We need to talk to the businesses, but the Parking Advisory Committee does not want to spend time doing the preliminary work just to find out that it's not going to work, and then we're going to come up here and we're going to have people say they're against 2-hour parking, and we're going to say, well, no, we're not going to do that either, and then we've done all this work that isn't working, has historically not worked, and we're at back 40 years ago again.
So how many,
Mayor, if we were to take this and institute a small section at a time, if we were to take perchance the median there and Lawrence Street and turn that to 2.5-hour parking, leaving the parking places directly in front of the businesses unmarked from a standpoint of it could be a 4-hour parker there, to see how this is going to affect these businesses and do that on a trial basis, if we did it for 3 months, if we did it for 4 months, and then evaluated that to see if it indeed has affected any of the customer base of these businesses, Before we march ahead with this, I'd just really like to know what effect it's going to have on the downtown businesses as a whole. Some it may improve, some it may not, but I would rather us see that rather than just enforce the entire thing.
I do think we ought to keep in mind, though, that those shop owners that are not on Lawrence Street who might end up with a designation of long-term parking near their businesses might be a little concerned about how that affects their customers when their customers need to park, and we've got that labeled as long-term parking. And so whatever we put in place for the short-term parkers, we probably need to ensure that we don't hurt any of the businesses that might be concerned about the long-term parking being in their area.
This is going to push them out of the city.
Right. And we do need to remember the whole reason, one of the reasons we started this is because people downtown, merchants who were not restaurant owners, were complaining that it's a dead time in the middle of the day. There's 3 hours in the middle of the day where their customers can't find a place to park. So they just, everybody doesn't want to eat when they go downtown. So, I mean, we did have complaints that instigated this study and everything else because we want all these businesses to be viable and active. We really do. And I think I'm glad the merchants are talking to us. I'm glad you're working as hard as you are. And I do think ADDA with Carla is going to be much more communicative with the merchants, and I think that will be a good thing.
But I would, Don, I understand what you're saying, but the other than the employees, the average parking time is less than 2 hours. Why would we make it 2.5? Which again could automatically play into some people's games. It just extends the time.
Dick, you're talking the average, and there are the exceptions to the average. And that could be the person that's spending $2,000 here in the city of Macon in a shop. And so I don't want to exclude those people.
Yeah.
There's got to be a win-win situation. It's just going to take work to get to that win-win situation. It's going to have to make right decisions and so forth. I wish John was here to explain again the importance of two-hour parking because it made sense to me.
And again, too, the two-hour, you were talking about, that being an average, and that's true. But what that also says is unless I'm standing there when somebody pulls in and I mark their tire, put them in the computer or whatever, and then I stand there, I come back exactly in 2 hours, that's the only way that they're going to have to be out in 2 hours. The majority, again, are going to pull in. Who knows when the person's going to get there to check and when they're going to get back to recheck to see if they're still there. So I don't think anybody's going to be there 2 hours and get a ticket. There's leeway there, even within that.
Agreed.
Let me ask a question.
Carla, would you want to say, because what I've noticed is that there are certain times, as Jane has indicated, that we have a higher volume of traffic.
Correct.
And that's normally during the lunchtime.
Correct.
And I would say between 10 to 10 to 3. Would you want to use that
exactly
window of time, the two-hour parking between that window of time?
I think the window of time that was recommended was either 10 to 3 or 4, 10 to 4, something like that. And again, it's for that main time when it is so congested. The evenings, the weekends would not be included. And again, the reason for that was, and he's right, I wish John was here because he's much more articulate than I am on this subject, but basically, again, there's going to be leeway. And if you extend it to like 3 hours, then your leeway becomes somebody ends up parking there all day because they can slide in at the right time and not get caught. So that was why the figure was come up again from the expert. That figure is what he recommended.
Carla, was there a proposal made as to how these parking places would be marked? Let's say if you had two-hour parking.
Not specifically. They did indicate, again, and I'm with you, I think the first thing you have to do is find alternative parking. I don't think we can start tomorrow giving people tickets or anything. So we do have to find alternative parking. But that comes with the education process, a lot of marketing, a lot of help from the newspaper, getting the word out, having maps drawn up that indicate where short-term short-term, long-term parking is. He gave us some tremendous tools that other cities have used that were very, that took that parking problem and put a spin on it as a positive, you know, that we have a parking space just for you. That's what they sent out to the customers. You know, we have a parking space just for you. And it showed where the short-term, where the long-term was. And so it's an education process. We may find, as we do this, the Parking Advisory Committee and through input from you all in the city, merchants, and the community may find that we need to mark them in a specific way. But again, I think to get bogged down in that right now is premature.
Well, rather than have a sign everywhere in town, mm-hmm. it would be good for a while that if each merchant would have in their window somewhere something indicating parking and the hours.
Definitely. And like I say, all this would be done before it even started. In other words, we would have maps at all the merchants' places that people could hand out to their customers and signs, whatever, before we even started.
But I'm saying, if you see that in that window, you know that, hey, I parked, you're shaking your head saying no?
I don't think that's legal.
What?
To have a sign in the window and then have the...
I'm not saying...
She's just talking about an information.
I'm just saying for information.
Oh. Yeah, informative. Right. I don't think she's talking
and
about
it. And someone will say, I don't know. I'm not saying to enforce it that way.
Right.
I'm just saying that that's a way of getting the information out.
Exactly. And we would do anything we could. That would be our primary concern, is making sure, again, that this was customer-friendly, merchant-friendly, and that we educated it. It's a community project.
I want to clarify one other thing. When Gary said this was not constitutional to have employees park in designated lots, other towns have done it. How can that not be? I mean,
it's not constitutional to prohibit employees from parking on the street if other people are not prohibited. It is certainly constitutional to have a parking lot set aside for them that is for them only. But according to John Edwards, what we need is 120 off-street parking spaces for these specific 111 cars that are the ones who are taking away the equivalent of 1,000 other parkers during the day in the downtown area. Now, we can either find those 111 people and kill them, or we can find a place to put them off the street so that they can turn over those spaces five times a day. And we don't need to find a lot of extra spaces, just a few, because there really aren't that many people that we have to move. If we can find those specific people through enforcement, make it very difficult for them to hog these spaces all day long, we solve the problem.
I've got an idea. Let's find out who they are, Chris.
Yes, sorry, Fred.
I'm sure collectively people know who the employers are, whose employees are parking in front of their stores or somebody else's store. Find those and then put the parking limit in front of their stores.
Well,
so that they have to move.
Friendly persuasion has been tried and hasn't worked.
I know.
What would happen if we took all the parking spaces that are in front of the stores near the sidewalks and turned them all into small car parking spaces, and then that would give you a few more, and then put the regular cars...
That sounds pretty prejudicial.
You know,
it's a regular car.
I'm really. You know, this sounds to me like if we could do something innovative to get a few more parking spaces. I'm like Fred. I just ride around until I find somewhere to park, and I wait and make the cars behind me wait until somebody backs out when they're backing out. And I'm okay with that. And you don't hear me complaining about the traffic on Whiskey Road either. I just know that cars indicate life in a town. And so I think it's a good thing that you have a problem with parking, because I could remember when you didn't have a parking problem downtown. But I do think that you're going to find, as your workforce downtown becomes older, they're not going to want to park two blocks away. I'm concerned about that. You're going to find that there are some businesses and some business owners who themselves may be parking downtown, and maybe we need to educate the workforce And those who can will go ahead and do the parking in the parking lots. And we won't have people on Newberry Street and Pendleton Street on Hayne Avenue concerned about their area being the off-street parking area. And then I do not think, it might sound funny, but I do not think it's a bad idea to make those parking spaces in such a way that you can get small cars somewhere and then other cars in another area. Because other parking lots do that. They have spaces that are smaller for smaller cars.
If I may, because we can sit here all night.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we have heard
all opinions.
From all opinions. Mm-hmm. I think one of the main things that John Edwards said to us is we do not have a parking problem per se. We have a parking management problem with our employees, and I think that's important. The other thing John said is this study is not for today. This study is for the future, because downtown will continue to grow, and I got a lot out of that. So I think if we be careful with what we do and how we implement, but I think the first thing, this is from Rome, Georgia, and if I can just read this paragraph and then we can move on. It's parking smart. Parking smart is a matter of turnover of on-street spaces for customers and visitors seeking downtown goods and services. In order to ensure adequate parking turnover for customers, clients, and visitors, it's imperative that downtown workers park off-street. That might be step one right there, getting that kind of literature out to our merchants. Let us take our advisory committee and let's take these opinions and see what we come up with. It's going to be your final answer.
I agree. I agree. I think we need the advisory committee, and that's the way to go. And I would like to see the step one, two, and three. You know, what do we do first, second, and third, if necessary, or in the future?
And Mayor, you mentioned parking available on the east, on the west, near the church, on the east side.
In Trinity, down there.
Right, but on the east side, on Chesterfield, there's ample parking as well. It's parallel parking, but if you ride there, even in the hours that you've discussed, Carla, there are parking spaces on both sides, traveling north and south.
Right.
And
And let me give you an example, though, of I mean, it all sounds great to ask people and to identify employees and employers and have them do it. Unfortunately, my understanding is that historically this has already been tried and it has not worked. With the big building that's going up down there, I immediately had my first courses of action was the construction vehicles were parking in front of the stores at that end. And so I went down and spoke with the project manager, and I told them where these empty parking spaces were. It took me probably about a week and a half before they ever started utilizing them. It took a couple more phone calls. I took them a box of cookies to thank them for being community oriented and taking our recommendation and parking where there was parking. About a week or two later, the cookies were gone and the cars were parked back in front of the merchants. It sounds nice, and if it was me or Jane or you, Beverly, we would do that. Unfortunately, there is a great many people, more than I would like to admit, that are not going to do that. They're not going to have that same spirit. And a lot of it is young people who get to work late. You know, they don't have any clue, and they really don't care. And unfortunately, the employers are small business people who don't have time to go out there and look at, find which cars belong to their employees and get on to them. And some of them won't do it anyway. So I think it's a nice gesture. And if that's what you want us to do, we will certainly try that again. But I'm just telling you, historically, that's already occurred. And I have witnessed it since I have been on board trying to do that.
What's going to happen with all the new residences on Lawrence Street? Where are they going? I mean, what if they park all day long and all evening long on the street? What about the new offices? I mean, we're getting more and more offices down on the bottom floor on Lawrence Street, not stores which have four employees. We're getting offices that are going to have 40 employees or more.
Well, I think we all probably would agree that at some point in time we're going to have limits. Right?
Enforcement.
Maybe not right
now. You mean enforcement?
Enforcement as well.
Yes.
But are we there now? No, I don't think so. I think we can find some parking spots, but we may be a year away. Now, are there any? Is anyone else want to speak on this subject? That maybe you've got another point of view that hasn't been expressed. Are there any employers here that have workers that park in front of your store? No, that, nobody came that has that happening, right?
Well, there's one.
Okay. Well, we need all the views now on the table here so we can...
Ron Brenneman, I own Birds and Butterflies, and we've been in business about 10 years now, and I have seen the problem increase, but my concern is, and I'm certainly not concerned about real estate companies and banks moving downtown, but we're seeing more and more of those come downtown, and I'm afraid that if we don't have some enforcement, those are folks, you know, are going to take up more and more of those spaces on a long-term basis, because I see it happening now. It's already happening with some of those companies, some of the finance companies, some of those folks who are down there. And, you know, I can see it on my block. I can walk out there and probably point 10 or 15 cars out of people that work right there. And they may be parked in the middle, but it's still a spot that's taken away some of our customers' parking. So I think it's the problem could get worse with some of the changes that are happening downtown with more service-related industries versus merchants.
Right, right.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And we have heard some people... I have not heard them directly, but my assistant has said that there have been people that have called and even said, well, I'm going to park in front of my place, period. And they will, no matter what we ask, unless there's some kind of ordinance and enforcement.
About 2 years ago, Van Smith headed up a committee and asked us to go ahead and identify who are the long-term parkers, and through certain means we were able to identify whose cars were who and where they worked and etc. And when we talked to the owners of those businesses and to the employees, their attitude was not good at all. It was just, this is where I could park, I'm going to park here, and until someone tells me not to park here, I'll continue parking there. And there's about a dozen stores that were like that way. And unfortunately, they're going to continue doing it until they're forced not to do it.
Okay.
An idea was just given me, if I may share. We're here to tell my ideas. I was trying to end the meeting. But, if there is an offender, Parker, find out who that employee works for. Find the business owner. Or
we can't do that.
You cannot.
No, I don't think that's legal.
I still believe the only way to do it is to take the consultant study for Pete's sake and finalize.
See, I think, Sam, in that case, I think that's where what you do is you put the two-hour limit right there.
Yeah,
where they park.
Unfortunately, then they're going to park.
Then they're going to move down.
Your store.
Another little story. We had another.
Can we agree that we want to go ahead and with the advisory committee and let them look at this?
With the intention of implementing the consultant study and eventually passing an ordinance that limits parking
in
the areas that they recommend?
I think so, with the timetable perhaps, an estimated timetable. What's first, what comes second, third?
But I sure hate, the study itself says what comes first and so on. But I sure hate to waste their time for another 6 months,
okay,
for a year and not have anything happen.
The first thing I heard Mr. Edwards say in a preliminary report, and I think it's been mentioned here, is that we don't have a problem there. There is existing parking spaces, and you need to get those together. You need to get some agreements with the folks that have parking areas now, such as the bank, right back there. And that was first step. Now, how long does that last? I don't know, Dick, how long that lasts. Maybe it lasts 6 months. That works.
But as Sam pointed out, and what Edwards was saying, is we don't have a parking problem. We have a parking management problem. We have a problem. It's just that we're not managing.
Well, the more parking spaces you have, though, that would help that management problem, I think.
I have one last question, if I may.
Okay.
I know the parks are historic downtown.
the parkways.
Yeah, we can't park in the park, Sam, now.
But what about north of Richland? If we were to go one block and use those center parkways, keep the beautification.
Never getting out of it. Never getting out of it.
Nice little line.
Yeah.
We don't need it, Sam.
Sam.
We have to do what we got.
Sam.
Okay.
You have just lost your election.
Okay, Carla, don't go yet. Let's make sure we all agree on what we are agreeing on here, right?
Okay.
Are there any other comments to that?
I don't want to paint you into saying that you have to come up with time limits on the parking spaces at a particular time. If the committee gets together and decides that's what they want to do, that's what we'll go on. But I want you to work through all the recommendations here and then come up with what it is you feel like we should do. And I think it would make it simpler for all of us because you're the business people. But just keep in mind off-street parking and how it affects other people. And
definitely.
Work through that.
Definitely.
Okay.
I know we're trying to conclude this, but Don and I were here having a sidebar conversation. We wondered what it would be like if we just did a pilot, let's say for a month, and see what sort of action we would get, just some signs up in a block area.
Well, you've got to have the someone going around looking. You know, you've got to have the enforcement for that time period.
Looks like we got a lot of deputies in here, so.
Well, and again, I think the only way that it's truly going to work, though, is if you do the whole process. I mean, I think, in a way, you're shooting yourself in the foot when you try to do a pilot program without finding, without finding alternative parking and without education. I mean, there's a long process. And then again, our whole concern was, do we do all this? And then we come here and there are, you know, the group says, well, you've done all this and we really don't care. We don't want to go forward with it. And that was where we wanted to make sure we weren't spinning our wheels. And unfortunately, I think that's a great idea in some instances, but for this, I don't know that it would work as a pilot program because you haven't looked up alternative parking and educated the public and made sure that there are maps and letting people know and making it customer and business friendly.
The pilot program that we were speaking of, you would identify the other places. You would educate the public. You would just then do it on a smaller scale to see how this would affect retailers within a given area before we decided to impose this all over the downtown area on this grid, and it has a negative effect on different businesses, and then they go out of business. That's my concern.
Well, John did do that. John did do that, and that's why he left it on Barnes only and Richland. And it just occurred to me that John was for the two-hour parking, but he never said to put those people, employees per se, in front or on another street. He specifically said, find a lot. He didn't say, find another street. He said, find another lot, and I think that's important. But as far as the pilot plan, if either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it, because it takes at least 6 months to educate the public on the change. And I think that you got to be careful with that.
Sam, that's the same thing they said when they changed the formula on Coke. You know, we either got to do it or we don't. But, you know, it was after the fact. It was after the fact that they realized what a mistake they had made. That's my concern. I would like for us to do this on a smaller scale. Let's see if we're going to make a mistake or how it's going to affect certain businesses before we implement it in this entire area. Or once we implement it in the entire area and we have adversely affected shopping in downtown Aiken, then we've not done what we intended to do.
Well, and I will say this, the other recommendation was that the Parking Advisory Committee stay in existence. In other words, this is not the end. If we do go for the full gamut and there is negative effects, the Parking Advisory Committee will continue to stay in effect, number one, because Aiken is ever-changing, mm-hmm. and what's working now may not work in 2 years. So we will always keep that, not necessarily the same people, but there will be a Parking Advisory Committee to always find out what the situation is and make solutions. So if we do find out that it has a negative impact, we can certainly readjust. I don't, with all due respect, I don't think that a two-hour limit and us trying to be business and customer friendly is going to put somebody out of business. I may be totally wrong, and I say that out of respect for you, but, you know.
Well, there's, you know, small businesses down here, you know, some of them struggle to make it. Mm-hmm. There's times a year that it's flourishes more than others, and it wouldn't take long for some of the businesses to be put out, or for them to have to find an alternative location, which is not what is our desire.
But some right. of the small businesses are complaining that nobody can get in their stores in the middle
well,
of the day,
and somebody has just moved because of that same effect.
You know, so what, I don't know, we need to consider both sides of that.
Okay, do we have consensus in this?
Yes.
This move forward with, mm-hmm. with the committee?
We will continue, and we will start with the process as it is written in the
okay.
the recommendations right. from John Edwards.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for
thank
all
you
the
all
speakers. Certainly, this is why we have work sessions, is to get all these ideas out and let everybody speak and give their thoughts.
Mr. Mayor,
okay.
I just want to say to Carla, I hear great things about you. You're doing a great job.
All right. Okay, moving along rapidly to newspaper racks, yeah. Mr. LaDuke.
Well, the next thing is signs.
Signs, okay. Signs.
And just for Don and Lussie, you know, that committee will be taking into account all those things, and that may be a recommendation coming out of them to go ahead and look at a certain area. You know,
okay.
It started a little bit smaller first. So, you know, I'll be working with that committee, and we'll look at everything and see how best we could. Because that's the last thing we want to do. When we started the streetscape program downtown, one of the reasons we didn't do the whole downtown at one time is most time when you start streetscape and you start working on the area, by the time you're done doing all the streetscape, most of the businesses are out of business because no one comes to the stores. So we'll look at trying to come back with a solution, okay. Hopefully the right one. I gave you a newspaper article that Beverly had given me about signage. Columbia has just gone ahead, and they've been working on a wayfinding system. There's been a lot of questions on this. ADDA asked USC Aiken to come up with some signage. Council accepted that, thought there was some good merit in it, but you felt at that point in time that it needed to have some polishing done on it and to put it into the hands of some more professionals. We went back to USC Aiken and talked to them, and they thought that was a good idea. Glenn Parker, working with ADDA, went to several different firms that this is what they do for a living. After talking to several firms, they select a design group to go ahead with the signage. And in this case, it's a wayfinding system, but certain elements of that could be adapted to signage for the stores themselves, depending on how and what we come up with. So since we're talking about downtown issues tonight, Glenn is here, the consultants are here, and they would like to give you an update, and again, to make sure that the direction that they're going is the direction that you would like us to go in. So with that in mind, I don't know if Glenn or Marty or Barry or who's going to get up. Or all three of you.
I hope this doesn't take 40 years. The only thing, Roger stole most of what I was going to say. The only thing I would add to that is that we did a pretty extensive interview process. We looked at a number of firms before we did decide on the design group. And I think most of you, they've presented before, know Barry Dawson, Marty Healy. But couple of reasons we picked those guys. One was because they are a local firm. They do appreciate what we have here in Aiken. The other reason is they're working on our branding campaign, which somewhat ties into this. It's two different projects, but it could tie into the look and the feel of the signs. The other thing I would mention, too, is we have met with the design group. Sam and Carla with ADDA were there. As this got started, Councilman Zvaters and Wells were there, and we sort of gave them some direction as to where at least these two council people felt like we needed to go with this whole project. So with that in mind, they have moved forward now, and they're still a little bit in the concept stage, but Barry is going to come forward now. I think Barry will start and just update you on where we are right now.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thanks for the opportunity to give you what I will do my very best to make a brief overview of where we are at this point in time. It is certainly not a presentation that we're bringing to you tonight, but rather a clarification of what we have determined to date and really a definition of the assignment and how we're undertaking it. The primary goal of this assignment is to bring the visitor into town efficiently, help them get around once they are downtown, as well as directing them to points of interest beyond the downtown area. Briefly stated, that is what we are going to attempt to achieve with this. Glenn mentioned the whole consideration of the fact that this is Aiken and this is not some other community, and it is a unique community, and because of that, the solution should be as minimal as possible to achieve this goal. I simply mention that because over-signing is frequently done with no apparent consideration for the integrity of the community that it represents. This community has wonderful and deep integrity, and we will do our very best to protect that in terms of what we bring to you for your review and ultimate approval. And also, I might add, it can also be obnoxious in terms of just sheer numbers of signs and overwhelming and beyond that, frankly, wasteful. And that simply is in terms of the manufacturing and installation costs that occur to achieve it. There are some basic categories then that and there are three of them that we will be dealing with. Everything we will be doing and bringing to you will be broken down into one of these three categories, and that would begin with welcoming. We would want to spend some time on that. That is welcoming the visitor to Aiken. Secondly would be what is classified as directional, and that is simply guiding them to a particular end location. And then finally, it's informational. Being able to dispense dispense information and communicate through this solution process those topics and information that would be helpful to the visitor. So once again, it's welcoming, it's directional, and informational, and we will be dealing with those three categories. As you get into that, particularly with a situation such as we have with downtown Aiken, you break down the user into vehicular. When they first are approaching the city, they are in some sort of vehicle. If they end up in the downtown area. Typically, if they are interested in what the downtown area might have to offer, be it dining, shopping, any combination of those things, they become pedestrian. They will park and they will get out of their car. And so we are dealing with both of those considerations as we determine how we can best provide them with information and how we can best direct them. The vehicular goes beyond just bringing them downtown. We also have considerations of other destination spots where our visitor may not necessarily be interested in downtown. They are more focused on some other destination. That can be everything from the university to Citizens Park, Hopeland's Gardens. There are a short list of other destination situations that we will need to efficiently deal with as far as directing the visitor. Finally, I would want to share with you what the typical process is for a signage system of this nature. Typically, they are going to fall into five phases. And this one certainly we feel is within that definition. So briefly, those phases would be these. The first phase would be research, site survey, and determinations and recommendations. That involves all categories of signage, the number of units, placement, in other words, where do they go, and it also brings into discussion other potential support materials. This solution, while it is determined to be a wayfinding signage primary assignment, it is a communications assignment. We are communicating certain information. The primary consideration that we have for this is within a signage format. But as we get into particularly the informational part of this communications dispensing, we very well may be suggesting to you other materials. Those could be printed materials. They could take some other form that would not necessarily be traditional signage, but would be in support of that solution. Phase two then would get into the actual physical solutions, and that would include verbal, visual, and materials considerations and recommendations, as well as the other support materials. Phase three then is production specifications, negotiations, and determinations. That is to determine and draft all production specifications, identify all potential suppliers, get those specs out to those potential suppliers, negotiate final production details and costs, and then award the project. Phase four is manufacturing, just what it says. That's providing all the necessary production files to the chosen supplier and supervising that process. And then finally, phase five is installation. That's confirming all the installation details with the city, developing the final installation schedule, and supervising that installation. Those are the typical five phases. In the case of this assignment, we have shared with the design review board that our recommendation is that we combine phases one and two. In this case, we think that it's important to bring to you at the same time we talk about our recommendations and determinations with regard to the overall survey, we bring to you the solutions as well. I think it just makes sense in this case not to create a two-stage situation there. It just doesn't make sense. We want to be able to bring you not only the research determinations, but also the solutions that we are recommending as it relates to that research as one report. Within our production timeline, we are expecting to have that ready the 1st of June. Finally, I would also be remiss not to mention that within any signage consideration, as comprehensive as this one will be, we need to work with all of the various other signage suppliers that could play a role here. For example, South Carolina Department of Transportation. We are initiating discussions with those folks to determine what kind of flexibility, if any, we have with regard to their requirements. Can it be blended into what we are suggesting as our solution? We are becoming very familiar with the city's guidelines. We are in receipt of those and have studied those carefully, so we know what we're dealing with there. And there's the Heritage Trail that also plays a potential role here. They certainly are represented by certain signage, and we would like to be able to bring all of this together under one umbrella solution if we possibly can, and thereby continue to reduce the number of signage units as well as be able to bring a harmonious design solution to all of this and eliminate as much clutter as possible. That's basically the overview of where we are. We have officially begun the process, and we are in full gear and on the front burner on your behalf, and are looking forward to bringing this to you, as I say, the first part of June.
Thank you very, very much, and for your group and everyone that's working on it, and Marty and others perhaps that are working with you. When did you say you'd bring it back? In June?
Yes. We are anticipating right now that we will be ready to present the first part of June. And that's combining those first two phases and bringing you solutions as well as recommendations having to do with the site survey and the research.
Very good.
Mayor,
very good.
One thing I neglected to mention was we received a grant. Barry mentioned the Heritage Corridor. We received a grant from the Heritage Corridor to help with the initial research phase, which is good in that it opens up the fact when we get to the installation point, we can reapply for the same grant. So it may help us with the purchase of the signs and the installation of the signs. So we feel pretty comfortable that that money will be out there. You know, once we get their report back, we get to the installation phase.
Very good. Very
with
good.
How much was the grant?
It's a total pot of 60. Mm-hmm. We could take a certain portion of that to go to theirs, and then the balance goes to the signs.
Okay.
But any questions, comments?
Yeah. I was wondering, I understand the process, but especially when you get into complications with state roads, designs, and things like that. But would it be possible to put some kiosks or something downtown faster that would identify all existing downtown businesses, not even providing information about them necessarily, other than so-and-so's Italian restaurant or so-and-so's bistro or some? I just think that's an urgent need. I think that as new businesses open, the faster we can get something on our property downtown that people can go to and look and see if they're downtown and they want to find a restaurant. I mean, I think it would be something simple that would be fast and maybe not have to wait on all these other things. And the reason I'm saying this, and I think we talked about this before, is I was in a really attractive small city in America earlier this spring, Princeton, New Jersey, with the ugliest wayfinding signs I have ever seen anywhere, even uglier than those the Heritage Corridor wanted to use, by the way. Which, look out for those. But anyway, but they worked. I mean, we were looking for a restaurant to go to, and as ugly as it was, and I don't want to, I know ours won't be ugly, not with you two working on it.
Thank you.
But you know what I'm saying? But as ugly as it was, we found two or three. And same thing, my son needed a jacket. You know, I mean, we did. And I just was thinking maybe that could be achieve more quickly, because some of this sounds pretty complicated with the state highway department and all.
No doubt it is, and we want to be as efficient as we can possibly be with regard to this, because as I suggested, it's not hard to waste money and when you get into one of these, and we simply pride ourselves in not doing that. So on your behalf, we're going to be just as careful as we can be with the overall budgeting as it relates to this, in terms of the costs that are yet to be determined, and those are the manufacturing and installation that I'm speaking of. With regard to your concern about the downtown, we could simply look at that as a top priority with the potential of bringing observations and solutions to that in advance of the entire system, because it is a separate element. There's no question about that. Defines itself pretty clearly. And we have already begun that definition process on our part. So in response, I would say that there is the possibility that we could bring you that in advance of the entire system solution. I simply would not want you to waste money again in putting up something that ultimately would not be the final recommendation, simply because we're rushing to get something out there, and those would have been, we would look at those as wasted dollars. So we will certainly take that under consideration if that is acceptable as far as putting that on the uppermost front burner, and perhaps even bringing that in advance of the rest of the system, because it does define itself clearly by itself.
Jane, I think that's a good point. Question, how many kiosks is... I'm assuming you'd have more than one.
Mm-hmm. Well,
is that part of your process?
I'm not at all saying to you, Mayor, that we are going to come back and say you need kiosks.
Oh, okay. All right. Now that's what you were thinking, right or not?
We have a communications need here.
Yeah, right.
Identifying what businesses exist.
And being able to dispense that information to the visitor.
Correct.
Now, that may or may not be best done with a kiosk.
I'm not telling you how it has to happen.
I'm just simply suggesting that we're not automatically undertaking this project with that word clearly defined as part of the solution up front.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I just wanted to try to understand it, make sure.
There's more than one way to skin this cat, and that may not be necessarily the procedure we bring
and
to this.
As far as the manufacturing, depending on what kind of materials they want, but if it's your typical metal signs that we're going to have for wayfinding, we do have a modernized sign shop that we could go ahead and manufacture all those at and install those. You know, we've had a sign shop for a long time, but they got now the equipment in there so that they could, it's like a print shop, you know, just print it out, they put it on the blank and installed. So we may not even have to go through steps 3, 4, and 5.
I appreciate that, Roger. We'll certainly want to find out everything we can about their capabilities and capacity.
You know, they're the ones that design the horse design on the signs and everything else. So
okay.
The historic ones that you see on the... So they can do a lot of creative things. Got some very good folks over there.
Good. Okay, any other comments?
And anything we could do, because we have talked about the downtown, how to communicate to those that are somewhat familiar or not familiar at all, how to negotiate and define locations in the downtown area. And that we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. So we'd like to stop talking about it.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Okay, now newspaper racks.
Okay. Ready for the rack? I mean the racks.
I already did a whole rack.
Bill's coming up here. And you know, we have talked about this and talked about it and come up with a number of different possibilities. Form the committees and done everything else, and so we're ready to take action with your direction. So Bill is here to
give us the solution, right?
Well, maybe we ought to just bring you up to date on where we left things about 6 months ago. we had developed a committee. You may recall that we had a memo of understanding, a memorandum of understanding, I think is attached in your packet, that we developed with a committee composed of some of the publishers and a staff member and a businessman. And that's where we left it. We left it with that memorandum of understanding and with a tentative idea about the number of boxes that or installations might be recommended for downtown and the approximate area of those installations. There was a one-day situation where the committee went around downtown and sort of looked at specific locations they felt comfortable with. You know, that may still be a little tentative, I think, but if, you know, if we can, we can certainly delve into that further. But the bottom line is that we had that memorandum of understanding, but we're still feeling that there was just not a clear consensus on what we should do next, if anything. So that's where we are. And I think Beth Nicholson's here from the committee. I'm not sure anyone else is here from the...
Bill, before we do that, and Beth certainly can speak in a moment, could you review a little bit about the memorandum of understanding and that, what that was about, and what was the understanding? In a nutshell.
In general, the idea would be that the city would actually purchase the units, the installations.
Okay.
That the city would purchase and install the installations. We would have fees, a fee structure set up for the participants to pay those annual fees for it. I think we said that initially we wouldn't charge that maintenance fee until the third year, but initially there would be an installation fee or whatever for those who participated, and the city would actually own the units. The committee's role would be to meet on occasion to decide, for example, if you had all of the boxes in use, all of the installations in use, and there was a request for another installation. The committee could consider that and come back to council with it. You know, there were several approaches we could take with that, but the committee's role would be sort of to monitor the process and to make sure it runs smoothly over time. The city's real role, other than maintenance, installing, would be to install, maintain the units, and to you know, to ensure that the process ran smoothly. Obviously, over time, some people might come and go, and that's where the committee and the city have to decide, you know, what kind of system you'd have, and probably would be a first-come, first-served basis. If somebody dropped out, the next person on the list of people who had requested a space would then come to the fore. There are some other details, but that's the main part of that's the body of the program.
Okay, and we pretty well had we settled the number at that point in time?
I think we were at about 11, and that's it, total installations in downtown. That's not total number of boxes, that's total installations, so that would be 11 different locations.
Okay, yeah, and that's in one of our handouts here.
Yes, sir.
Right, okay. Get it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Since we talked back then, 06, about a year ago, March
right.
13th, 06, I'm looking at... It's my understanding from a very good source that's in this room that there's quite a few more boxes out there.
Yeah.
Is that...
There are some, yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir, there are some.
So, one of the things we've got to determine is whether we go back to where we were a year ago, or just where we go, as far as numbers concerned. These things have just grown almost by themselves since we were there before. Now we can discuss. I mean, obviously that's a point of discussion as to how many we're going to end up with, and of course where the locations are.
I just as a, again backing up a little bit on the history, you may recall that I think Gary had explained to us that, you know, our conclusion was that the city already has the authority to control the boxes that exist. To basically go in and say, you're not supposed to be here. Of course, over time, that's never happened. We've never enforced that ability to do that because this is all we're talking only about units on public property. These provisions and the MOU would have nothing to do with units on somebody's private property. We don't have control of that. Right. But Gary's feeling and ours was that you do have that ability, and that's, I think that was part of the discussion before. As you recall, there was some concern about the legal implications of this and would we be limiting free speech issues and whatnot. I think Gary's consideration of that, or his feeling about that, was that if we made reasonable accommodation in downtown, that's all we have to do. We're not required to allow all comers to occupy public space. So it's a matter of providing reasonable accommodation. I think that's where we left that legal point, legal okay. issue.
Does anyone have a question of Bill before we have others speak? Okay. Okay, Bill, thank you. Don't go very far away. Beth, would you like to speak, or anyone else in the audience would like to speak on this issue? You're certainly welcome to do that. Because this is a work session, so this is the time to just discuss the issue, bringing back our memory as to where we left off and all those things.
My name is Beth Nicholson. I publish Bella Magazine, and I'm on the RAC committee that was established by the city. We haven't met in a long time, so I was coming to this meeting to see what, if new, other developments had occurred, you know, since we met. And I see really nothing, I don't think. I was curious to see if there were any complaints, maybe through public safety, of the racks causing some sort of a problem for pedestrians or anything like that since the last time we met.
Okay. Beth, are you aware that the number has grown?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
You're probably not one of them, though, that's grown put them out there, but
no.
It has multiplied, it seems like.
Yeah. No, I have seen it. But I just didn't know if there had been any problems, you know, if they had been, someone had been hurt or, you know, something where there's a physical danger involved or something like that.
Does anyone know of any physical problems or anything like that?
No, I didn't think Bill had. I asked Bill if there had been a problem with the RAC since we last met, and I'd heard there were really no problems, nothing's happened.
I think the concern, and it's very clear, and others can talk to it as well, and is that we've got a unique, beautiful, vibrant downtown. And I'm sure none of us want to see just these things multiply, different colors, different heights, and all this thing. And we did talk, of course, last year as well about some standard-looking displays, if you will, that came, I think, Bill, from perhaps Greenville or maybe Charleston. Or
just coming up with a consistent look, consistent appearance, so that, you know, by the city owning the units, that would be one way to control that. Another way is to simply turn the whole process over to newspaper publishers and those folks and tell them this is our standard. And you can buy these units and we'll install them for you and let them manage the whole process. But again, we would have guidelines, you know, where we would say they've got to look like this. And you can only have this many.
Oh.
And we can hear you a little bit better up there at the mic, Bill.
I figured my voice was loud enough.
and not to get on tape.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to be on tape. I guess what I was getting at was that there's another way to skin a cat, which is the one that we talked about earlier before the MOU was developed, which is simply turn the whole process over to the newspaper people and basically say, we have these guidelines. As long as you abide by these guidelines, we're okay. So you basically tell them, here are the types of units you can purchase, here's how many you can have, and here's where they can be, and we'll install them for you, and then they have to manage them.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes some of the bureaucracy out of the process.
Right. Well, I think the idea of us...
Also takes some of the work out of our workload off of our table.
Well, I think... Personal opinion that we need to keep control.
Well, we would have control. The idea behind that theory was that our control would be just the same as it would be now, except that under this situation, except that they would be doing it. We would say, here are your standards that you've got to abide by. Here's the look you got to have. Here's the kind of unit you have to have. Here's how many you can have. Can't go over this number without coming back to the city to ask for more. So either way, you get what you're looking for.
Are you referring to the modulars or to a standardized box?
In both cases, we're looking at a standardized box.
Oh, see, I didn't think that was what we were going. No, that's the modular.
Okay, you call that a modular? Okay.
Yeah. Condominium.
I thought a modular comes in on wheels. And
yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
We have talked about this for so long that I'm prepared to say, let's do something. They keep growing, and we keep talking, and let's...
Well, that's why we brought it back. That's why we're talking about it.
Well, I have a recommendation. You know, we've already gone and picked all the spots where we think the racks should go, like you had instructed us to do. We walked and did it. And, you know, that's those 11 spots you were referring to, dappled throughout downtown, and so that was where we were at, and then it was never addressed again. So I mean, the committee has agreed on all that, you know, and then so it's whether or not you would council will allow us to do that, as to whether or not it goes or not. And my other recommendation is, if you don't want to get into all that, because you know we were going to have to pay an awful lot to be in that system personally, you know, thousands of dollars each to be in these racks since we were being forced to pay for them ourselves, maybe you could say you can have a rack, but it's got to be black, or it's got to be green, or some sort of standardized color, so it doesn't, because I hear the rainbow thing a lot, people complaining about that. There are some places where, you know, they like to have what they consider an architecturally historic color, you know, tasteful, you know, and of course that could be something that could unify instead of kicking us all out, or instead of having to go into all this modular mess that'll cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It's just an idea.
And when you say modular mess, do you mean
the condo units?
Okay, wait a minute. You're talking about what we have here?
Yes, sir. Yeah. What you have there.
Okay. Like so.
Uh-huh.
Well, you've got six or eight, and
right. Maybe
you could have more than
right.
that.
Well, things are different now that there are more publications in town, you know. And, you know, they're in and out, just like Mr. Huggins said. You know, we have a procedure that we've all agreed to, but it's because it's never been, enacted or enforced or passed, there's really, you know, no point, you know, in us, because all these new boxes that come out, they should have theoretically come through the RAC committee to have, been appropriately dispersed throughout downtown. So we just haven't been... because it hasn't been done. No decision's been made.
Right, yeah.
Or you could just leave it like it is. It's enough. They haven't really caused any harm to anybody.
No, they just they're growing too much. Whoa. we don't need as many as we've got.
Well, I don't know how many complaints y'all have had about it. There seems to be sort of a same.
You don't necessarily have to have complaints, but you think one of our responsibilities is to keep our downtown and our whole city, for that matter, the best it can be, and to improve it.
Right. Well,
I don't think this is the best it can be when you have these things growing from 81 to 200, and next month it'll be 300, and what's the stopping point? That just junkifies, if you will, in my opinion, the downtown area if we let that happen. I think we've got to decide amongst us that we're going to go back to some number. I mean, when it gets to the point where we've got this on our agenda to vote on, we're going to have to.
Well, I understand why you have to do that, but I think, you know, picking and choosing the issues, if you're legislating this box stuff, you know, you're going to have to, you know, why does that need to be controlled more or less than all these other issues that the city's dealing with that involve the public sidewalks and streets?
What do you mean, the other issues?
Well, like the sidewalk sales.
We're dealing with that. That's on our agenda here to talk about as well.
And the kiosks, you know, and they're taking up space downtown. The seating for the restaurants, you know, the planters. You know, you hate to kind of drag all that in.
Well.
But it is kind of the same to me. It's space.
Well.
You don't agree?
We'll have to decide what we do eventually, one way or the other.
But I think our committee has agreed on everything so far. So really, it just depends on how y'all want to proceed with it. Because, I mean, we've all managed to work together at this point,
sure.
Which is remarkable.
Sure. It is.
Beth.
Yep.
Bella. What happens if someone plops one of these things in front of a merchant's business and they don't want it there, and technically the sidewalk doesn't belong to them?
Well, generally what happens is when we always ask, but if that happens, generally the merchant gets mad, they call the publisher, and then it gets thrown in the trash or else taken away.
Okay.
I mean,
that hadn't
been
made
very complicated.
Huh?
They'll call if they don't want it there, or they'll throw it away. I mean, in every market we're in, we've had that happen, you know, one or two times, and we just address it. Because you don't want people mad at you, because then the advertisers won't support you. So, you know, it's kind of like that. Anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Henry Krippner, 144 Crane Court. I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I was at the post office today, and how many machines there are in front of there, that big rainbow, I don't know. I didn't count the number of machines, but I did count the fact that there were 5 total empty. And this tells me that either they're not taking care of their machines, or they sell out awful fast. They're either very, very successful, or else they're not doing their job. But 5 machines out of those, what, 17, 19?
19.
Yeah. Empty.
Yeah.
Seems like a waste of space to me.
Were the newspapers in, by chance?
Well, they were mostly the free ones.
Oh, okay.
Mostly the free ones.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Ed Giobi. In response to this lady over here that she hadn't had any complaints, I'm here to make a complaint. And I think there'd be lots of other people who would find the numbers, the size, and the variety of these boxes to be unacceptable. I think council has 3 aspects that they need to consider. It's number 1 is the size of the boxes, the location, and the numbers. I think just to give you an example, I believe, and it's been in the Bacon Standard, that the real estate people are very proud that they have their giveaway real estate book in approximately 250 locations now. If this problem is not addressed, it will clearly accelerate. Is there no limit to the number of boxes you'd like to have on the street? Are there size? Yeah.
I don't think it looks great having 90 of them out there.
Well, I'm here to say it doesn't look great.
Well, it's not government's job to determine how I make a living.
It is when you're on a public right of way. You want to do it in your driveway, that's one thing.
If you get rid of one, you got to get rid of all of them.
I don't think that's true. I think there's a great deal of difference between a newspaper box, the Aiken Standard, or another newspaper, and somebody selling used cars or advertising a beauty parlor. And under the First Amendment, I think there's lots of room for discussion, and I don't think council should be intimidated by threats of litigation. Threatening litigation is one thing. Carrying it out and prevailing is another. And council is concerned.
Beth, just a minute. Just a minute, Beth, please.
And if council is correct in its decisions and believes it's correct, should not be deterred by the threat of some frivolous litigation. First Amendment does not allow you to cry fire in a crowded theater. There is a middle ground here, and I think reasonable people should be able to agree on something
Absolutely.
That's sensible.
Absolutely.
What we're hearing is this unlimited proliferation of things that detract from an otherwise absolutely unique downtown with unique character. We shouldn't let any special interest group carry out their special interests at the expense of the public. That's important. I think it is up to this group, and I think there's a reasonable solution. Let the interested parties come up with a solution in 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, if they can't come up with a solution, then council should impose a solution. But to allow the unlimited proliferation of these boxes in size, location, and numbers is, I think, unacceptable, and I think at some point it will be a subject that will cause, I think, considerably more discussion and should be dealt with now before it becomes an even bigger problem.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
We did come up with...
Beth, come up here, please. Come on back if you don't mind and speak. That's okay.
It is a complicated issue, and I understand. Yeah. I completely understand what Mr. Giobbe is saying. My goal is not to litter up the city with trash and beauty parlor magazines. I thought we had come up with a recommendation, which we had, and I don't know if you've had a copy of that, because we did. We had a committee where all the publishers met, ones that you consider real publishers and then lesser publishers, that would be real estate books and stuff like that. And there was some agreement there, and I would assume you would have seen it being on the Planning Commission. Have you not seen it? Yeah, we had meetings we met, I guess, five times, wasn't it? Several. Where we all agreed, Aiken Standard, Augusta Chronicle, Real Estate Book, you know, everybody.
Yeah, nobody from the Planning Commission would have had that conversation with them at that point.
So it doesn't have anything to do with the Planning Commission?
It never got that far yet.
Well, I just don't want him to misunderstand that he thinks that I want to throw, you know, our thing is just free speech, let's trash the city because we've got to make money. It's not that. We've had recommendations, and we have a recommendation put forth. It just hasn't been looked at.
Right. We understand.
And that's all it is. But I, you know, I don't agree with the, you know, an auto trader's gone. It's out of business, I think. Have you seen it? I haven't. You know? Well, you've been before a year ago. I know that bothered you. But, you know, we don't want this to be an issue. We don't want the city to be unhappy with us. But we also don't want free publications excluded because the newspapers are there too. And
okay.
That's it. But okay. Really, I mean...
All right.
Excuse me. Was the recommendation for the 11 locations is
that is
we're
correct?
We're talking of these.
Yes, sir. That's right. That was the best that we
and
had.
And have you seen
with
these, Ed?
Yeah.
They do those in Charleston.
Are they acceptable to you?
I think it's a question of common sense. The 11 locations are deemed proper and necessary. I think that's fine. I think the question arises, will they be limited or will there be some further proliferation beyond these 11 locations?
Well, we had come up with a procedure to deal with all these people coming into business so there wouldn't be, no one's allowed to go plop a box in the middle of the street. Okay, and if they do,
so
they
other words,
removed.
If I understand you correctly, you're saying you would not go beyond these 11 locations?
Let me go, Beth. Let me answer that.
Okay.
The committee, which was made up with Bill and different other publishers, two major newspapers. In other words, you all set up a committee mm-hmm. that group mm-hmm. would be made of.
Mm-hmm.
Selected those 11 different locations. And when you look at that map, it looks like there's a lot of locations in the downtown area. But understand, that's in a six-block area. And one of those locations at the post office, which is a block and a half north of the city downtown area. Those 11 locations, we asked each of the publishers how many boxes they would need at each of those locations, and we came up with a number. I don't even remember that number, but let's say it's 100, which would mean that there would be an average of 8 cabinets per location. Now, some, obviously, you get out to the post office, you might need to have an area that's going to have 16 cabinets. If additional publications would come and want to go in there. And we know that there's going to be new ones that are going to come. There's going to be some that are going to go away eventually. It's just the marketplace. If we actually needed to have additional cabinets out on the street, and let's say we stayed with those 11 locations, but we wanted to add another cabinet with a top and a lower side, it would go to the committee would look at it, and then it has to come back to city council before it's approved. So whatever you approve initially, any changes to that would have to come back to city council. The committee would look at it first, make recommendations. We even talked about, and I believe we left this out a bit, that originally we even had a lottery system where if there was more publications and there were cabinets, then you get on a list, and then once an opening comes up, then you would fill that opening. But again, we have a set of guidelines here. It's like so many other things that we've dealt with in the past. You have to start someplace. Mm-hmm. And if council approves this, we would move forward with it. If we find out in 6 months to a year we need to make some changes to it, and there possibly could be, then we'd have to go back to that committee, get some of the recommendations, and come back to city council for those changes. We're ready to move forward on these locations. We could go ahead. I heard the recommendation of let's buy some and try them. Well, we could do that if you want. The problem we have, unless we put them in concrete, it would not be safe to have those cabinets out there for any length of time because they are top heavy. And if you look at each of these, the diagram, you could see a concrete slab that they're sunk into to give them stability to stay where they're at. Again, the locations that was recommended would be, you'd look at where the cars are at. Each car location, that parking spot, is 10 feet wide at a minimum. So it would go in that 10-foot space so that somebody gets out of their car and they're going to walk along that aisle there. The newspaper box or the publication boxes would not be in their way as they're going to the storefront. They'd be in the area where the paver bricks are at now. So you have the paver bricks, you have a sidewalk, and you have a storefront. So again, we're trying to bring those where if you're looking down the streetscape of the sidewalk, you'll see the storefronts. You see light posts, you see trees, and in between the light posts and the trees, you would see publication boxes. But because there's so many trees and so many light poles, a lot of times those are just going to blend into the landscape. In other words, they're not going to be up against the storefronts. And that's where we left it. And so we're kind of back to you as to where and what you want to do with it at this point in time.
Could I ask a question? Do we need the same heavy-duty boxes for free publications as we need for the newspapers that have to have vending capabilities and that sort of thing?
Not really, but we don't know which ones are going to be the small little publications for the larger, and we want the uniformity of the boxes in general.
I was just thinking that I've noticed some of these publication boxes, like Beth said, dark black, that are black or a dark color, and have numerous slots in them that don't look, to my mind, don't look nearly as offensive as some of
I think that's what we're looking at.
I think you could just say, you know, that there are no condo units allowed and be a newspaper box that held one or two publications.
That's what you think. Okay.
Well, as it would avoid, I know what you're referring to, and if you didn't want that, then they would get rid of that. Because that would be something that would have to happen through the committee anyway in order to have one.
Some of the cabinets could be subdivided. A newspaper, which is around 18 inches or whatever length it is or width it is. A lot of the free publications, you could get two sides in there, and that'd be fine.
I've talked to Roger. We've talked about this and just this afternoon. I'm kind of a visual person. I like to see things as much as I can before I agree to something. I would like to see us somehow get one of these that we're talking about. Whether it be the bigger one or it's probably one of the bigger ones.
We looked at that
6 months ago.
We looked at that last year and we weren't able to do it.
We may have to buy it.
I thought you were just talking about trying to acquire one temporarily.
Once we get to the point where we're pretty sure what we want. And Roger says that, you know, and I've seen it, y'all have seen it too, probably out at Shoney's as one. Now, I don't know if that would be exactly like the one we would want or not. But I would like to see one out there sitting in place so that I can see what it looks like.
In Aiken or somewhere else?
Oh, in Aiken.
Why?
Right where we plan on putting it.
I think our last discussion...
Temporarily, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it takes for us to get a visual of it.
I think, Roger, we investigated this before, and it was going to cost us about $700...
No, a couple of thousand.
...dollars to get it, so that's why we moved to where we are right now. I've seen these in Charleston, Mr. Mayor.
I have, too.
And they're attractive to me. Now,
where are we going to put it, though? This is not Charleston. And I may be the only one that would like to see this. And all I'm saying is what I feel. I'd like to see one out there, not in concrete.
Let's buy one and put it in front of the post office.
I have another way. How about we got one like the Charleston one. The shop can put together a wooden bottle of it and put it out.
Absolutely.
And
we talked about that last year, too. It could be a cardboard box. It could be anything that is somewhat the same size, you know, and paint it the same color and so that we can see what it looks like.
Sure.
If we go ahead and spend thousands of dollars to get these out here, and then all of a sudden we say, oh, my goodness, I don't like that, or I don't like where it is, at least we would have a good idea. We've seen one, whether it be a box. I think a box is a perfect example of it. That wouldn't take $100 or two.
I don't believe it very easily.
I personally think we're going to like it. So why don't we just go ahead and just put one at one location? Just invest in $2,000 to do it.
Then we're really already casting the die on what the model is going to be and everything else. Let's get a bottle that looks okay. If the mayor doesn't like it, we'll build another bottle.
No, it's not just me.
We'll put a chimney on it.
If we spend $33,000 or whatever it is, and then for some reason, I like the box. I like that.
Mr. Mayor, the biggest complaint is the post office. Let's just buy one and put it in front of the post office. We'll sell it. If they don't like it, we'll sell it to another city.
There's some thought.
Yeah, let's put it in the post office.
That's the number one complaint is the post office.
Sure.
Good thinking, though.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Do anything. You know I want to speak.
Okay.
Now, I was speaking with Beth, right? We've just met. But my concern, and because some of the merchants have mentioned to me that these 11 locations that the merchants were spoken with or will be spoken to, that something is not going to be put up, even though I know it's not on their property. But again, I think as a community and out of goodwill, we should make sure that those merchants are in agreement. And I understand the concern about the finances if we go with the modular unit. But if you look at Pat's, I did speak at a men's group recently, and there was concern, so there were issues with it. And I just told them we were going to start stacking them on top of each other and give them a ladder because they couldn't go any further this way. So I do think we need to think about the modular, and if it is a hardship, if the city could do something to help, I don't know. Again, we've got to kind of do a balance, but that's the way I think we need to go, rather than even make them all uniform, because we're going to eventually have them all the way down the road.
Carla, the folks at PATS, what were they concerned about? Were we going to remove them or what?
Well, were they going to, how many more were going to go and how they were going to, and I said, don't worry, we're just going to stack them up. We won't get rid of them for you. We'll just stack them up and you can get a ladder and get to whatever you need. So it was just a tongue-in-cheek because they are concerned that,
about the
that they're multiplying.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not newspaper boxes anymore. They're rabbits.
They'll be around the corner. After a while.
Exactly. So, and I do understand the cost for the businesses, so I don't know how we could work that out. But
I think the post office idea, Don, was a good idea.
We will go ahead and we're going to go ahead. I really don't want to go ahead and build a model that I think we'll buy one. We've spent so much time talking about this.
Right.
We could have paid for
Let's do something a long time ago.
We'll go ahead and buy one. We'll put it out at one of these 10 locations, not the the post office to let you look at. We'll tell you the exact time and date, and then we could install it permanently at the post office if we decide not to do it this way. But I want you to see what a 8 or 10 unit or 12 unit would look like physically out there in the, on one of these sites. So that, because again, the streetscape of what downtown looks like is certainly different than what it's like at the post office.
Yeah, let's put it on Lawrence Street.
So we'll get one right on Lawrence Street. And we'll find some owner that really doesn't want it there, and we'll put it there so they can see what it looks like. No. But we'll give a time and a date that you all can look at it and give some comments. And we'll invite ADDA so the merchants could all, who are interested, look at it also.
And Beth, thank you. I mean, and Beth's committee, for sure, right? Beth, thank you for doing all that work. Yeah. My goodness. Y'all met 5 times, you said?
More than that.
Yeah. But
this is still on the concept that we own them.
Yes. City would buy them. And what Beth is talking about is, and this is just a number, but each cabinet, we're going to be charging back the price of that cabinet to whoever wants to use it. So let's say it is the Bella magazine. It will probably cost them over $200 initially just to go ahead and get the use of that cabinet, and then they won't have to pay a fee for upkeep for a couple of years, but then every year thereafter, it's anywhere from $37.50 to $75 per year for the upkeep.
It's going to cost $3,000 if I want to be in more than one. This is not a minor thing. Because it's 200 per cube.
Yeah, if you want to be in 13 or 14 of them, it's going to cost you a lot.
Well, you got to be on every side of the street and where people walk by. And everybody on the committee feels that way.
So we will go ahead and get an actual unit put out there and let all parties know and let you all take a look at it.
Good. Very good.
Good. Moving forward.
Forward. Mm.
Now, what are we going to do with this, though, vis-a-vis the agenda?
Well, until we get it out there on the street for you to look at, nothing.
That's fine.
The last item we have is on sidewalk sales. Again, we actually developed an ordinance on this. We talked about it. You had two particular merchants, both of them were antique dealers, that said that they wanted to be able to have sidewalk sales basically at any time of the day and year. And so council said, let's just let them put things out there and see what it looks like. That right up until that time, Wendell Hall and his group would gone out there and enforced it and said, you can't put things on the sidewalk because it blocks it, it causes other problems. But after hearing from those two individuals, the indication we got was, until we come up with an ordinance, don't enforce it. We have not been enforcing our own regulations. We just need to know again from you whether you want us to go forward with this issue and have a sidewalk sale ordinance, which allows ADDA as the official organization of downtown to be able to have X number of sidewalk sales a year, or to let merchandise just be put out at any time.
How many sidewalk sales do we have now?
Currently, under the current ordinance, is 4.
And I think we talked about moving to 6. Is that right, Carla?
Carla was not there.
This is before, so I only have bits and pieces of this.
Yeah, we talked about 6. We talked about 8. We talked about more than 4.
I think
yeah, you only do 2 now, and we said we'll allow it to 6. That way, if they even wanted to, let's say it was an antique dealer or 2 or 3 that during the heart of Aiken wanted to just do it, Carla would say, ADDA would say, okay, you all, because of this one weekend, you could have a sidewalk sale. But they have 2 main ones right now. This gave them flexibility during Christmas time. I know that Birds and Butterfly one time want to have an exhibitor out there who was doing some carving. And it was like, well, is that a sidewalk sale? Is it not a sidewalk sale? And so it became a difficult, do you approve it or you not approve it? And so it gives them some flexibility during times of the year that they haven't been doing it to do it. But it's how restrictive do we want to be on merchandise being placed in the sidewalk area?
I think Birds and Butterfly talked about your volume of activity being seasonal.
And that's,
this was one day.
This is one day only.
Oh.
And what we were proposing is up to 6 per year, I believe, was the last proposal that
right.
we dealt with.
But in that case, I probably wouldn't ask ADDA to use one of their sidewalk permits for me for one day. I wouldn't ask them.
But it might be a case that on that Saturday, they'd say, anybody that would like to have exhibitors out there, this is holidays, and therefore you could go ahead and do that. It gives them more flexibility. But again, it's the other times of the year, are we prepared to be restrictive on what people could put on the sidewalk?
Is it a problem? Is it a problem? I mean, I don't think it's a problem.
I think it looks good. I know Ed Joby doesn't agree with me on that one, though.
Well, I know he doesn't, but...
Well, there's only one or two stores that cause the problem, right?
Yeah.
So they
and different
do,
stores do have different personalities.
Right.
I tend to agree with that, but I have, that's a Carla opinion, not an ADDA opinion. Let me make that clear. I don't know what the board would say. I will say this, though. I want to publicly say I feel bad because I was not aware of how the ordinance was written, and I was asked to put through a sidewalk sale permit request for one of the antique stores during the antique Hearts and Antique, and I did not know that it was up to me, and so I put it through and it was denied because it wasn't an ADDA event, and because I had not planned an ADDA sidewalk sale, I felt like that was the right thing, the right answer. So now I feel bad, so I want to publicly say I feel sorry for the antique store that I didn't let have a sidewalk sale because I wasn't aware. So I'm learning.
I just wanted to say, I think what I'm looking for was consistency. I mean, there were situations where in the past, we were sort of allowed to do it and nothing was done. And then there was a case where I sat one thing on the street, and of course, Wendell's people came by, and rightly so, and told me I had to put it in. But yet down the street was an antique store that had 40 items out. So all what I'm looking for is consistency. I'll live with whatever you say, but... You know, if someone's going to be allowed to do it, then we should all be allowed, or no one.
That's right.
Well, four allows one to be done every quarter if folks want to do that. Six gives them more leverage.
Yeah, and then two individual. Maybe y'all talked about that when I was out.
We changed this after talked about this several times. I'm looking on page 3 of under Exhibit A, and the section says that ADDA could have up to 6 sidewalk cafes, etc., could have their merchandise out there. Streetscape-related items are allowed. Park benches are allowed. And then item number 6 here says individually requested sidewalk sales not to exceed 2 events in any calendar year and not to exceed 3 consecutive days for each event. Mm-hmm. So that was the change that you all asked for, based on the fact that I think it was Dennis Fitzgerald that came to us and said, you know, he would like to have some individual ones. Now, because this was not passed, when he came to us this past spring, we said, no, we weren't at that point yet. But that was the one item that you did ask be put in there. But again, we kind of left it where it's at and seeking where we go back from here. And it's interesting, that was March 20th, exactly a year ago.
Yeah, I really thought that was reasonable. way to do it, to let the individual merchants, and what is it, up to 3 per year?
Two.
For 3 days.
3 days for each event.
3 days. And then you were asking for 6 a year.
For ADDA.
For ADDA for general purposes, which seemed a little excessive.
Which would be a total of 8.
But again, they're only using 2 per year right now.
Especially if you're going to give individuals the to have 2. I mean, I definitely don't see why ADDA would need more than 4.
Well, now,
you and 2.
Some of the clothing stores, though, have space on their own property in their entranceways where they have a sidewalk sale every single day.
And that's okay.
They can do that.
I don't find that. I mean, I don't think that's terrible, and I don't think what Mr. Fitzgerald does is terrible either. I don't think we've had a big enough problem to legislate against it, frankly.
And one more thing that I think is lump summed into this that some people tend to think that it needs to be lump summed and some people don't. But are the sandwich boards, you know, we have stores that like to put sandwich boards out. Is that included in this, or is there another regulatory ordinance that deals with that?
I thought I read somewhere where it did away with that.
And in reality, sandwich boards would not be allowed either because on the sidewalks. Because that's not furniture, it's not part of the landscape.
For aesthetics, it's not blocking the sidewalk.
Right, but there are some, right, at this point, there are some very nice sandwich boards that are out, especially for a new place or when they're having a sale. And again, I wonder, you know, rather than saying no to them totally, if it wouldn't be better to say, again, put a limit on it. So I go back and forth with the getting involved and putting all these ordinances, but rather than saying you can't.
Well, I personally just worry about over regulations. I mean, I've watched plum pudding and I've seen when they had their things out, and the number of people as I drive through downtown that seem to enjoy these things. And I've seen some of the other merchants that have things out, and I haven't seen it as a nuisance or something that's appalling. It distracts from the amenities that we have downtown. But maybe I'm seeing it from a different point of view or different eyes. But
let me give you an example where it became a problem, because there was one store downtown that we finally put a stop to it, but they were pulling out lawn tractors and go-karts every day onto the sidewalk.
Okay.
So we finally just said, you know, you need to pull that back in because of the problems that was causing. It's, you know, like Home Depot, if they want to pull out tractors every day and charcoal grills or whatever it is, that's their private property. But again, I don't take a stance either way on this, because I'm like Carl, I can go back and forth with this whole issue. The concern we have is once you allow it, and bless his heart, Dennis Fitzgerald, when he called me on that Heart of in the Aiken Antique Show, he said, you know, I want to go ahead and have the sidewalk sale. And I went down there that day, and there was already like, I think I counted 20 some items already out there on the sidewalk. And I said, how many more things do you want to put on the sidewalk? So, you know, how much is too much?
Yeah.
And what if he was on Lawrence Street? Would we allow that?
I'd like to make one comment. I think council should make a distinction between sidewalk sales and the everyday constant display of merchandise on the sidewalk.
Okay.
A very high-end, you might say, gee, it's great for a high-end antique store to display a lovely console or a mirror or something. That might, in some people's eyes, be acceptable. But would you want a T-shirt shop selling $4 or $5 T-shirts on racks, movable aluminum racks out on the sidewalk? There is a store in Aiken. Fortunately, it's on his property, but every day he has items out on that on his property with a price tag, $5, $6. Now, you let him do it, how many other people are you going to let do it? Do you want that downtown to resemble a flea market? Now, I've heard Dennis's comments about, I'm not running a flea market. Well, again, it gets down to the abusers and the people who use common sense. Plum pudding does not put, as far as I know, put a great deal of merchandise out on the sidewalk.
No, but it's quality. I mean, it's good stuff. Nice stuff.
I beg your pardon?
I said it's good stuff.
But he doesn't put it out on the
sidewalk?
No,
side. He doesn't.
Well,
oh, yes, he does. I've seen it on the side in the window.
But I think it's when they have special days.
Well, special days, right, exactly.
But again, I'm making the distinction. You have to make a distinction between sidewalk sales and the constant display of merchandise. I think that's important.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a question of self-regulation. Self-regulation is wonderful, and it is. In the absence of constant bureaucratic regulation, that's a wonderful thing. But we know that human nature doesn't always work that way. And council is going to have to take some measures occasionally to regulate the behavior. This downtown is unique. There are some other things that council is going to have to think as we go forward in our growth and our progress, because with growth comes problems and challenges. And those are things that lots of people are going to object to because they want the freedom to do whatever they wish. Well, unfortunately, in our society, there is something called what is good for the majority as opposed to the minority. We can't oppress people who want to make a living, and we should be doing everything we can to encourage people downtown to be independent and to be able to display their merchandise, but not in such a way as to degrade the character of this downtown. Once you do it, it's very, very difficult to restore it. The character of Aiken is unique. Everyone who comes here will tell you that. I have all sorts of visitors come here and say, this is the most wonderful place. There are very few places in the United States that are like this anymore. Most towns don't have a downtown anymore, or they've been so changed over the period of years that the local merchants have disappeared. One of the things that the council will have to consider as time goes on, as Aiken becomes more popular and as it becomes more economically viable for businesses to want to be in an attractive environment, those rents will go up, and you will force many of our local small business owners out of business. There may be some things that council will have to think about in terms of limiting certain types of businesses. There's no point to going into it now because I think that's an entirely different subject. But I think council has to make clear what it wants that downtown to look like. And if you want some guy selling $5 t-shirts out on the sidewalk, I think that's the quickest way to make it look like Myrtle Beach, and they'll go someplace else.
Mr. Thank Mayor. You.
Thank you, Ann.
Well, that's a planning commission.
For years I've seen, and I don't know how often they do it, but Wanakees will put mm-hmm. dollar items out mm-hmm. on the sidewalk.
Things that haven't been picked up.
Things that haven't been picked up. And there are a lot of people that that go there because they... It's kind of like going to one of the other stores, except that the things are already cleaned and pressed and hanging neatly on hangers. You know? And I think... some of the things that bring people to Aiken, because Aiken is so different and so unique, seem to be some of the very same things we're trying to regulate now. And I'm wondering if there's a way we can't let people who've been here for a while have some kind of... well, I'm not saying leaving things as they are, but I don't think we ought to take everything away. And I think 6 plus 2... when we thought about it and discussed it for so long, I think it's the way to go. And I don't think it's too much, and I don't think it's too overbearing to allow them, to allow you to have 6 and for individuals to be afforded 2 additional ones if that's what they want. That's what we discussed.
Yeah, but I think it was really 6 an individual could request up to 6 permits a year for 3-day sales, which I have no...
I thought it was 2, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it's just 2.
No.
Here it's 2. Yeah, 6.
No.
6 for the whole city. 6. Downtown.
No, right. No, it's confusing language. That's okay. Not what we put in the amendment.
What am I looking at here, then? Exhibit A? Is that not...
It says not to include, not to exceed 6 events in any given calendar year scheduled by the ADA. ADDA. On number 1 on page 3.
The events planned by the ADDA would be done as a group.
Right.
Yeah, what we were doing was leaving the individual merchants, whether they were members or not members of the ADDA, they could request up to 2.
Up to 2.
Right.
We discussed it a long time, and we all agreed that this would be good. Yeah. And I think that's what we ought to go
with. So that's 8, right?
Possibly.
The possibility of 8.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility.
No?
My understanding is if there's 15 merchants that decide to get 2 permits each, then that's 30. I mean, this is individual merchants
right.
that can
right.
get 2.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
So you're
yes.
not just to say an 8.
But any one could have 8. Any one merchant.
If they 6 of them would have to be in conjunction with 88.
That's,
right.
that's right. what I that's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand what
right.
you're saying.
So Warnicke's rolling that rack of clothes out, just one rack of clothes would constitute a sidewalk sale?
For 3 days.
For 3 days.
Currently, the ADDA has been holding 2 sidewalk sales a year
And under this provision, Warnke then would have an opportunity to do two more times during the year or for four times a year. Again, you could increase that, you could decrease it, not go without the record.
Jane, what would you feel good about in numbers?
I disagree with Ed Giobi on this one for once. I think we need to have a bigger problem than we have to start legislating about it. I really do. I think that it could become a problem. I can see that it could become a problem. But I don't think it's a problem right now. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think if ADDA starts having six sales a year, I don't think they'll be nearly as needed as they are. I mean, you look for one at the end of the summer, and you look for one, you know what I mean. You look for one, it's a...
Just because we have six doesn't mean we will use six.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And, you know, I don't know that you want to do that, even. And I don't know that that wouldn't be tackier than just letting a few merchants put some stuff out on the sidewalk, frankly. And then if we see that we're having a problem, then let's address it. But I don't see the problem right now. And frankly, I think if you're a small merchant downtown and you have something you see you've overbought and you'd like to put it out for a special on a Saturday, I think that's kind of spontaneous and fun, frankly.
But we discussed at length those merchants that have recessed doorways that allow them some space outside to display merchandise versus those whose doors come right up to the sidewalk. And
that's their private property.
That's their private property. And you know, I don't know that we could do a whole lot about that.
We can't.
Can't regulate it at all.
And I would
so we'll still have the $5 T-shirts and...
Everyone
changes
their openings. I mean, you know, that might be appropriate for their building so that they get some space in there so they could put their stuff out, you know. But I can see...
Wait, Brody. I see the situation is that you got a problem now. You've got an ordinance, but you're not enforcing. At least I think you do.
That's correct.
You have an ordinance that prohibits you putting these things out on the street, except during two or three times a year when ADDA is planning it. Either you enforce this ordinance, or you go say to all the store owners, you can do anything you want to, put it out on the street, even those with alcoves. You know, I'm going to put mine out on the street now, everybody else is doing it. So we get back to the flea market that Ed's talking about. I don't think we'll flea market there naked. Thank you.
I don't think that's what we're saying. I think we're saying you can do six if they're sanctioned by ADDA, and then giving them two additional ones. But
enforce the ordinance that we already have.
Enforce the ordinance that we have.
If we enforce the ordinance we have, then the Park Avenue Antiques would have to remove everything they currently have out there right now and bring in their store and not be able to put anything out there except during authorized times when either ADA or they themselves ask for those two times a year.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, if you enforce it for him, you got to enforce it for everybody.
I mean, I'm just saying, just so you all understand, that right now we're not enforcing the current ordinance we have.
We know that.
And if we do enforce the ordinance, or we go ahead and approve what's before you, then what merchandise you see out there now by just a couple of people will have to all be removed except during those authorized times.
And the sandwich boards
also,
right?
We agreed not to enforce the ordinance while we went through this.
Correct.
That's right.
And on so many of these issues we've talked tonight, we had other priorities that came up that we had to move to. Mm-hmm. That's why the delay in getting back to this. So we know where we are. The existing ordinance now says how many ADDA?
Four
for ADDA.
That's one now.
So it's
okay.
Two less than what we're saying here if we did this.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't care either way.
But it would just still be two for individual, right, at different times.
Is that the existing ordinance?
Anybody know?
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think the sidewalk sale it's in and of itself is the problem. I think the issue is obviously there's a problem. Some people feel that there's a problem with the antique store, and then obviously when they were allowed to do it, and then Mr. Brenneman tried to put something out, and he was not allowed to. And as he said, that was not fair.
That's right.
People right now. There are some people that have some sandwich boards out, and other people wanted to, but prior to this, when there was enforcement, they were told no, so they're scared to do it, and there's some mixed feelings. And again, I go back and forth because I want my businesses to be able, if Ron Brenneman had something special to put out there, I think it would be nice for him to be able to do that without a lot of red tape. On the other hand, I understand the concern of it becoming a Myrtle Beach thing, but I'm not sure that that really is a problem right now. But again, I'm new to this. You guys would have to kind of lead me there. And I would have to, you know, I'm speaking here and I haven't even spoken with the ADA board because this is not an issue that had been brought to me. But I do think whatever we do needs to be fair and equitable, whether it's to enforce this ordinance or not. I'm not sure that's the key either.
Why doesn't the ADA board look at this and come back to council?
This is the recommendation from the ADDA board about 14 months ago.
Yeah, what we've got now, right here.
The only change from what we have right now from what the ADDA was item number 6, gave some latitude to individual shop owners to have individual sales a couple times a year. Otherwise, this is what the ADDA board recommended.
Why don't we try what's recommended? If it doesn't work, then we can modify it.
I think we ought to go with this.
Yes, I agree.
I think we ought to go right with what we have now.
We've put a lot of time into this.
Absolutely.
If it's a hardship, they can let us know.
Right.
I'm more worried about, frankly, business storefronts being closed on, you know, blank office space on the storefront than I am about
Okay. Does everybody recognize we passed this on first reading?
Mm-hmm.
And then because of the discussion, and like we always do, we try to listen to everybody, and maybe there's a better way, and that's why we're here now, talking about it a year later. But we did pass it on first reading.
So next time
it
will
be up for second reading.
It'll be second reading, and I'll let people like Dennis Fitzgerald know. And it will not be on next Monday because it doesn't give us enough time to really let people in the downtown area know about it.
Right. Yeah, we don't.
May I have a copy of it so I can look at it?
No.
There may be one in the office, but I'm straight in the
office. We'll get you a copy.
So this will not be on the upcoming agenda. We want to make sure people understand that we're going ahead with this on the agenda.
So I'll make this on April 9th. That way, Carla can let the various members and non-members know it, and we'll notify individually a few people that this will affect them.
Okay.
All the discussion has been Henry Krippner. All the discussion has been about the Aiken Downtown Development Association and the stores downtown. Does this not apply to stores outside of downtown?
No, it does not.
Okay. Do you have in the ordinance the designation of what is downtown?
It's a zoning for downtown business.
I don't know. What are the boundaries? You've got to have boundaries in there.
There's a DB zone.
It's a DB zone.
Okay, the DB.
They are boundaries.
I believe it goes to Union Street.
It's a good point. We need to add it.
Down to Park Avenue. Well, I think it's already in.
If it's not here, we need to add that. Yeah. Maybe even a map. It's, in the downtown DB zone.
It's defined here. It's on the first page of the ordinance. It calls it the DB zone.
If that does it, that's fine. Thank you.
Can we put a map on this? Can we outline the downtown with a map?
Sure.
For second reading.
Sure.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak? You sure? Okay. All right. Anything else?
Is that it?
All right. We're adjourned. Yeah.